Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Even though the fig trees are all destroyed, there is neither blossom left nor fruit, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And though the olive crops all fail, and the fields lie barren, still I will rejoice in the Lord. Even if the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be happy in the God of my salvation, you see. The Lord God is my strength, and he will give me the speed of a deer and bring me safely over the mountains. Yes, I will rejoice in the Lord.
Life Enrichment Ministries presents on the following series of tapes a Bible-based seminar on financial freedom and prosperity. The Bible clearly deals with over and over again how it is God's desire for his children to prosper in this life as well as in heaven. We trust that as you listen to the messages on these tapes, that you will be ministered to by God's word as it is brought to us through our brother, Perry Cowan, and that by hearing and applying these words to your life, you may realize the prosperity God has intended for you in your own life as a child of the King who owns all the wealth of the world, both in heaven and earth.
I'd like to introduce the subject of financial freedom tonight by just sharing some thoughts with you that I think are the basic purposes for succeeding financially. I believe that God wants you to succeed financially. I said quite a long time ago that God wants three things in our life. Number one, he wants you to be happy. I believe God wants happy Christians today. Do you believe that, church? I know you do. I believe God also wants us to be healthy. Well, he wants you to be healthy. He wants you, and this is repeated over in God's Word, throughout the Word of God, from the very beginning to the very ending of the book, and I believe that God wants that for you. You're saying right now, but Perry, why? And I'm glad you asked me, because the answer is that he wants you to be an example to everybody in this community. God wants this community to look at you and say, there is the happiest man, the healthiest man, the most prosperous man, this whole community. When I get religion, I want to be like that particular individual. And I believe that's what God wants out of this church. This church is going to grow, take new dimensions of growth when it gets a hold of these truths and begin to live out these principles of being happy. I believe we ought to be happy. This is the reason Paul is on and how to keep you awake and all kinds of say and do all kinds of things, you know, so that you will develop a happy attitude. Just a happy attitude. I tell you, it's happy Christians that influenced me. I tell you, it was happy Christians that brought me into this experience. And I still think it's happy Christians that are winning other people for the Lord. I do not believe that long-faced religion has ever brought anybody to know Jesus. But I'll tell you, people that are happy, smiling, laughing, joyful in their hearts are winning people to Jesus today because people are saying, I want to be like that family. I want to have what those people have in their life. Now, when I'm talking about prosperity, I'm not saying that God wants or that you need to even think about being a millionaire as such. But I don't think you ought to exclude that either. Right. But God wants to bless everything you do. If you grow potatoes, God wants to bless your potato crop. If you raise, wants you to raise good cattle. If you have a sales business, God wants it to be the best sales business in town. If you're a mechanic, God wants you to be the best mechanic and have the best mechanics in this whole city. Why? So that when people get ready to get their car fixed, they say, hey, you need to take that down to Joe. That old boy will do everything he tells you he'll do. He is a man that'll stand by his word. Ought to be the best business in town. So, and if it becomes that, it will become a prosperous business as you begin to walk with the Lord. Financial freedom can give you the freedom to live and enjoy the best life can afford, freedom to share your wealth, time, and your life with others. But money is a hard taskmaster. Money can be the master of our lives. And the word master itself, one who oppresses, one who defects, one who exerts power or control over. And Jesus just made a flat statement, and he said, one cannot serve him while under this state of slavery. You just cannot be your best for God if you're a slave to money. When Polly and I were instructed by the Lord to begin to minister, little did we ever think about the fact that that the marriage and the finances were so closely interwoven together. We just did not have thought to the fact that they were two together. In fact, when the Lord said, I want you to teach to the home, to the marriage and home life, family life, and I want you to teach on finances to set people free, I thought, well, that's two completely different things. They are unrelated. And then I come to find out, Larry Burkett, that 70% of all marriages and conflicts end in divorce as a result of their finances. Their funds, pay the bills, and keep the wolf away from the door. And so then I begin to say, well, Lord, now I understand why you spoke to us about this particular ministry and why you linked the two together. Many people are a slave to money. That is, their lives are dominated, regimented by it. Either the need for it or the desire for money. And there's really no difference. Now, all these years we've been saying about the fellow that was out here working hard to get a lot of money, we've been saying that Jesus said that this man was sinful. Because he's out there and had the ability, was out there making money, we've said that guy is really sinful. He's the man that the Lord was talking to. And all these years, the church, we as a religious body, have been pointing a finger at the guy that was out there making money, working long hours, making a lot of money. We've been saying that guy is the man Jesus was talking about because he's a slave to money. Let me ask you a question. Is he more of a slave to money because he desires it and spends every day making it than we are because we have to have it? See, there's really no difference. There's really no difference. But we've been pointing a finger at the other guy and say, that's the sinner. That's the man Jesus was talking about, the guy that's making all the money. He's the man that's really off target with God. But see, to have the desire for or the need for is really no difference if we become a slave to it. Somebody said, well, Perry, can you get too much money? No, you really can't. There is absolutely no way you can get too much money. Now, when money gets you, We've had a lot of people lived and died who absolutely allowed money to get a hold of them. There are people that literally are, because of mass wealth, controlled by it, dominated by it, regimented by it, as I mentioned a few moments ago, by the desire for money. They just have to have more money. And Solomon wrote, wisest man to ever lived apart from Jesus. And he said, the man that seeks silver will never be satisfied with silver. It'll never meet his need. Now, I come along here, somebody else comes along and says, money's never gonna need. No matter how much you get out of it, you're never gonna be happy. It's never gonna satisfy you. And then the people in the congregation will say, well, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think I'm going to work that much harder and commit myself heavier until I get a lot of money. Most people never get enough money to see through the illusion of money. The Lord spoke to us when we began to teach. And I'll never forget, Polly, where we were at when God spoke to us through a prophecy and said, I want you to tell the people. Now, I tell you, he made it very clear. I didn't hear him audibly, but he spoke to my spirit. In fact, it was with a slight southern accent. And I written. And he said, Perry, Polly, I want you to tell the people about the illusion of money. You see, a lot of people are out here to make a lot of money today with the wrong purpose. Now, if your purpose, and you're in this body today, and your purpose to make $1 million is to put it all in the First National Bank in some city, God can never bless that kind of an attitude. God can never smile upon that kind of an attitude. In fact, this is one of the things that's happening in our generation is Satan has allowed some men to make a lot of money, and they've hoarded it up. It's not even in circulation today. It's doing nobody really any good. But God wants you to get a hold of money to do some things with. Yeah. He wants you to be able to spread this gospel, this good news, all around the world. He wants you to spread these truths that you're talking about and you're teaching in this particular church all over the world. Jesus said that he was not willing. He was not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance, that everybody come to know Jesus. It takes dollars to reach men today. And if you and I are willing to commit ourselves to God's plan, God will begin to bless us financially, and we'll begin to finance radio programs for this church, television programs for this church, all kinds of teaching sessions for this church. There could be a different teaching session going on Monday through of every night in this church, and it would be a profitable thing for people to get a hold of the great truths of God. What a tremendous goal. What a tremendous opportunity we have today. There's now 4.5 billion people walking, living, breathing on the face of the earth. That's more people than have lived and died prior to our day. All of them living that. If you'd have lived 6,000 years and been born with Adam, you could have ministered or evangelized the whole world, you'd have had no greater opportunity than we have today. Today, we have an opportunity of ministering to 4.5 billion people. I tell you for sure, it's God's plan to save them. God wants to reach them. He don't want them to be lost. He wants them to come to know him. And the funds that you and I begin to make and pour into the church, pour into the body of Christ, pour into the work of the kingdom of God, will help to establish these truths all around the world. Now, at the same time, you're going to be enjoying many of the benefits. You're going to be living better, enjoying all that this world has to offer. Money says, serve me. I'm your source. But that's a lie. That is a lie. Jesus said, he said in his own words, that's a lie. Don't believe it. Jesus said, money is deceitful, and it's designed to ensnare and to trap us and to enslave us. Don't ever believe that money is your source. The scripture tells you in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, that God is your source. Would you look there with me? In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's that God quality of life on earth, that God dimension of living right here on earth. The word said, seek that God quality of life right here on earth, and his righteousness, or his right way of doing things, or being right with God, and all these things will be added to you. But we must put God first. So see, God is really our source. See, many people go at it from the back door. All God is telling us today is, here's the plan. Just start seeking God. Start seeking that God quality of life right here on earth, and his right way of doing things. And God said, I'll take care of all the needs you have in your entire life. Isn't that beautiful? That's God's promise to us today. That's God's word to us today. You can stand on it. It's God's word. Remember that money makes possible the world can afford. And Jesus said nowhere that we're to be paupers, but study this world system, know how it works, and let it work for our benefit. That money is plentiful for those who understand the simple principles of money management. Some of the things we're going to be talking about during the next 6 hours and the next 3 nights, one of them is we're going to discover how to release to yourself an unlimited flow of material abundance. How many say, I'd like to know about that? Can I see your hand? This live audience, I've got all kinds of participants. Number two, we're going to learn that money comes easily and increasing quantities to those who learn to save regularly a part of all they earn. Also, how to grow financially by turning many regular everyday living expenses into appreciating investments. Also, we're going to learn how to experience the challenge and adventure and fun of research to learn quality and best. Foresight and action are favored by the power force that causes an individual to habitually fall into good opportunities. Also going to talk about and learn how to build an investment program that will create a flow of income that can be in a few filled years a income that will equal or exceed your present salary today. It's a known fact that people in America today, the average, is earning about $500,000 in their lifetime. From the day they start to work to the day they end, the average person in America making about $500,000 in their life. Now, the tragedy of all of that is this, that many people earn this much money in their lifetime, $500,000, $500,000 flows through their hands, and they come to the end of their life and still have absolutely nothing to show for it. Others with the same $500,000 is able to take that and do tremendous things with it. Able to take that $500,000 and not just get by through their life, but they're able to literally accumulate a small fortune and many times a large fortune with what flows through their hands. And it's extremely important that you and I, and we're going to give you scriptures to back it up. We're not going to talk about anything we can't back up in the scripture. We're going to talk about how you can take a part of this and not only give a part to God's kingdom, because that is extremely important. That is the number one principle. But also, you can take a part of this and begin to put it aside and put it to work, and God will begin to multiply and to receive great dividends. Lesson number one is the lesson on the law of giving more than is expected. Now, the lesson aim is to discover how to take this first step to financial by releasing to yourself an unlimited flow of material abundance and the best that life can offer. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 38. I want to read this to you. It's a tremendous scripture, and it's been misapplied by all of us through the years. And I'd like for you to really get a hold of this truth. Luke 6, 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, as preachers, ministers, we've been for years taking up an offering, and we've been quoting Luke 6:38 and saying, give, and God says that he'll give it back to you. And that's true. I said a hearty amen when the pastor used a similar scripture a moment ago. I said, that's right. Praise God. That's the central part. That's the truth of this great teaching. But the tragedy of it is that we stopped right there. We never thought further about what else can be given. He didn't say if you give money, it'll be given back to you, did he? He really would say, you give whatever you have to give. There's people all around us tonight that are giving. They're giving. They may not be laying a lot of money in the cash offering. They may not be writing large checks. They may not have that. But they're giving of themselves. And God's blessings, and I'm here to announce to you that regardless of what you have to give, God wants to bless that. Now I'm going to tell you, when I got a hold of that truth, when I begin to learn that truth, that you give and God says that he will give back to you, that he'll cause men to. You see, this world system has been so designed, and I mentioned a moment ago that he said study this world system to see how it works. Become smart in it. Get wisdom in it. Learn how it works. And when we do, then we literally find out how God's law works. Now, this is a very delicate law. This is a very delicate, delicate law, and you must follow it just as he prescribed it, or it will not work. You have to give in order to get. That is a fact. Absolutely no place where you can give and not receive back if you give according to Scripture. Now, we've provided for you in your syllabus a place for you to write in the notes, so I would suggest that you use that to write in, write on all the pages. That's what we've designed it for, to help you get a hold of all these truths. And so just write in your own work manual there. It's been designed so that you can use it for that particular purpose. Let me just ask you at this moment, because I want to get you started thinking about what you can give. Let me ask in this live audience, what do you have that you can give? Now, we've already said money is one of the items we can give, and so we won't even put that one up there. Let's do that. We don't generally do it, but let's put it up there, because many people are able to give and are giving, and that's God's plan, that we give over and over again of our money to the Lord. All right, you help me now. In this live audience, what do you have that you can give to somebody else? Just share with me. Yes. What? A word of praise can be given. Oh, listen. Did you know that recently, a gentleman came to me the other night. We were teaching somewhere. Can't remember where. He said, we just paid a psychologist to come to our business meeting, a large company, and this man told us, with given thousands of dollars to speak to the sales staff, and he said that preferred above a cash received a gift that men will perform at a higher level of efficiency if they are praised more than if they're compensated with money. Those of you who are employers may not need to give him, your head mechanic, any more money. But you may need to take him to lunch and say, hey, Jim, this is not Jim, this is Polly.
But you know that it...
Yeah. Boy, that feels good. Y'all still kissing up here? Pastor said something about it, and I haven't seen one of you kissing since the start of eating tonight. Why don't you just kiss her? I think that'd be all right. Hey, look at that. Boy, howdy. Look, I can't believe. Some of you are kissing that weren't even looking at each other before. This is fantastic. Yeah, some of these were just shaking hands when we were here a few months ago, and now they're kissing.
I want to help you, Pastor, immediately after the service. I brought my carpenter over.
Oh, joy.
Just say to him, Jim, I appreciate the good job you're doing. I appreciate the interest you're taking in your work. More and better quality work than giving him an extra 10 or an extra 20 or an extra 50 cents an hour work. Men must be praised. And we do our all time. Isn't that right, Polly Baby? Boy, it really is. It really is. So this may actually be a tremendous key for you, those of you who work people or who work with people. And don't forget, you children, don't listen to what I'm going to say right now. Parents, it works on the kids, too. What you didn't hear. Thank you. It really does work. If you want to see them perform at their very best, you start praising them. Don't criticize them. Don't criticize them. Don't criticize them. Don't ever criticize the performer. You criticize the performance. You say, I'm up to par for you. Well, Millie's feeling complimented while I'm saying you did a lousy job. Isn't that fantastic? So, what we need to be doing is we criticize the performance, not the performer. Or it brings in a low report card. You just say, hey, Joe, you can do better than that. And at the same time, you're saying, you big dummy, you're saying that you can do it, man. You can do anything. And that's what we need to be saying to our children today. That's what we need to be saying to our husbands. That's what we need to be saying to our wives. That's what we need to be saying to our employers. I've enjoyed an exciting week this week, a few days, a few hours this week, building fence. Now, I've had a couple of fellas working for me, and of course, as Polly and I get a hold of more and more truths and put them more and more into practice in our entire life. In fact, I suppose, darling, this is the first time we've had somebody working for us in several years, as far as I know. And it's a very hard job. It's certainly nothing to be desired. These boys, some of them haven't worked in a year or more, and so they're very happy to get to work. And I've never seen such a performance in all of my life as fellas are doing. You know what I've been saying? Hey, I've never seen it. Boy, they're just tearing up Jack. I've never seen people that enjoyed their work so much. Just laughing and having them all. What? Y'all will never tell them. I see it. No. Oh, how we need to praise each other. Well, I didn't intend to just preach about that, but that is a tremendous gift. And see, the Bible says if you'll give, knowing that we're not talking money, but if you'll give praises, he said men will give back. Now, that's what's been happening all this week. Those fellas just been driving steeples and cutting down the brush and tightening the wire and patching the wire and just sweating and just doing a fantastic job. Men are giving back while we're praising them. Tell me some more things, church. What can we give? What else? Encouragement. Thank you. Oh, that's tremendous. I'm going to tell you that there's been many a time that just a pat on the back as I left the pulpit from somebody said, Pastor, you're doing a job. And my father can't say this too often to your pastor. And when you're as fortunate as you are to have this fantastic couple ministering for you, you need to be doing your dead level best to praise them and tell them about the good job they're doing. What else can we give, church, and this live audience? What else can we give? What? Our time. Our time. Oh, what else?
Our love.
Thank you. Oh. This is an unloved world today. There's not enough love to go around. This is the whole problem. This is the reason we've got countries in war and in battle today is because there's not enough love. More love will resolve all the problems. It will solve all the problems if we'll just get a hold of more love. We give. Our talent can be given to somebody else. Thank you. What else can we give? Our money. Thank you. And we've already got that one down, haven't we? Yes. Thank you for reminding us again to give the money. And I sure hope y'all will give. especially during the next 3 nights. What else do we have to give? Yes. A helping hand. A helping hand. And the Lord said, if you will do that, he said that I'm going to cause the world system to give back to you. And he said it's going to come back in such quantities that it's going to be running over, it's going to be pressed down, it's going to be shaken together to make room for more. Will who? Men give into your bosom. See, we're getting hold of a key here. We're getting hold of a key to financial freedom in our life. We're getting hold of a truth. This truth will set you free at a level you never dreamed possible as you begin to put this into practice and as you begin to live out these particular principles. Oh, now, be sure and jot these down in your little syllabus, see? You write this down in yours, because some of these things will be things you can give, see? So in your little manual, you just write down several of these items. Let's talk about some more quickly. What else can we give? Sir? Give me ear. One of the greatest needs men has to be listened to. To be listened to. Listen to it. You know what? We're not even listening to our own kids. We're not even listening to our own children. It is a proven fact. And I believe that this truth we've gotten up to go. Parents today, right now, in fact, it was in August, in the Family Weekly magazine released in the month of August, 1980, says that parents now, today, are spending less than 7 minutes a week talking, listening, understanding their children. What is that? That's 1 minute a day. That's not something I said. That's what the magazine said, that parents are spending with each child less than a minute a day talking to them. And then parents are coming saying, "Perry and Polly, what's wrong? What's going on? What's happening to the kids? What's going on? These bad kids, I tell you, kids got two strikes on them when they get here. One of them's dad and the other one's mom. The only one that can alter that situation by listening to them. Could I tell you in the same breath that parents all over the United States today are now listening, adults. Parents are now listening to television, would you believe, 7 hours a day? That is a fact. 1 minute with the kids and 7 hours in front of the one-eyed monster. What a frightening thing. The children themselves have already, by the time they reach their teen years, have already seen 18,000 murders, decapitations, beheadings of one kind or another. One of the great tragedies of television is that it desensitizes us to the feelings of other people. Yeah, I'm not against television. Oh, Lord, no. No, I love it. I love it. I think it's one of the greatest tools that God has ever allowed us to have. I just think we're misusing it a lot of times, because it needs to be spreading the good news all around the world today. See, if you can see somebody shot over and over and over and over and over again, hour after hour after hour, beheaded, killed in one form or another, and finally we get where we can sit there and eat a hamburger and drink a tea at the same time and have absolutely no feelings. This desensitizes us to where we don't have feelings for people all around that are hurting people, including the one we live with. We lose that sensitive touch to pain, and we say, "Ooh, well, yeah, it's not so bad. I've seen people live through it. I've seen people." At the same time, all of the movies, most of the movies, I'll say, not all of them, certainly, but many of the movies seen and programs seen on television only help criminals create new methods of crime. You know who's paying for that? We are. By the millions and millions of dollars today. It's
extremely.
Let me list a couple more. What about our expertise? Do you know that as a, I don't know what businesses you're in, you're a carpenter, you're a contractor here in this city, I'll say. You're a builder. Did you know that you can sit down with a young man? Here's a young man right here, just getting started in business. Just decided he's going to go into construction business. Here's a man back here that's a seasoned contractor. He's got the knowledge. He knows how to do it. He knows how to get the loans, knows how to get the buildings, knows how to close the transaction, knows how to list the property, knows how to make the whole package work. What have we been doing all these years? We've been saying, don't say a word to old Joe. We don't want him to know anything about what we're doing. No wonder we're suffering. No wonder we're poor as Job's turkey. No wonder boy, it's not long till that time, is it? Boy, no wonder that we haven't been able to pay the bills. See, we've limited ourselves. So what do, Perry? You sit down with him and you say, I just wonder if I could help you. If there's any way, you just go to him. You go to him tonight if you want to and say, hey, I know you're trying to get started in construction business and I just want you to know that I'm available. Now you don't go over and start telling him everything you know. You just make yourself available. And you say, call me. If you run into a problem, you're trying to put in a footing, you're trying to frame out a house, you're trying to frame a roof, and you have a little difficulty cutting the rafters, call me up. I've got a beeper, I've got a mobile phone, I've got time to have lunch with you any day. I'll be glad to do it. I'll pay the bill. And take him out. Do you realize that you could save a young man 5 or 10 years in his business by sharing with him what you know, by helping him make the shortcuts? And also he can save a lot of worry, a lot of frustration, a lot of stress in his life. He can also save a lot of material. How many boards would a man cut up trying to cut his first rafter if he didn't have somebody to help him? Yeah, I'm getting right down close where y'all live. I can see that. And that's what I wanted to do. So you give them your expertise, your ability, your knowledge, your know-how. In specialized knowledge. Maybe you're a farmer, rancher, cattleman, minister, you name it. Whatever you are, make yourself available to young people, other people around you. Maybe older people, really, that are struggling. But go to them. Go to them tonight after church. Say, hey, I realize that we're both in the same kind of business, and I just want you to know that if I can be of help to you, I'm available to do that. Our ministers are taking young ministers in today, taking them under their wing. They're serving their internship right by a seasoned pastor that knows the truth. One of the reasons we didn't do a super good job through the years, we just got out there on our own. You know, nobody told us how to do it. We just got out there and dug the foundation, poured the floor, and built the building, and started building the congregation. Had somebody take us under wing and say, here's some areas that are really going to help. If I can be of help to you, anytime I can counsel you, anytime I can visit with you, whatever I know, whatever I can do is all yours today. Now, many people are saying, I'll tell you, I don't want to have to go through all of that. I want things to start happening in my life today, and I don't want to have to go through all that sowing. I'd just like for it to start happening right now. In fact, what would you think of the guy that, we have some farmers here. What would you think of the people who decided, came to some of these farmers and said, I tell you, I'm going to start farming, and I've got me 300 acres of land, got me a good tractor, and I've got all the equipment, but I've decided that I'm not going to sow any seed until I get a good crop. You would laugh him right into the pond. Yeah. You say, why, that's pretty stupid. But yet, on the other hand, all these years, we've been saying, you know, as we back up to the stove, we say, stove, if you'll keep me warm, I'll put some wood in. Yeah, that's what people have been saying. How many employees have been saying to their boss, if you'll give me a raise, I'll start coming to work on time. Yeah, that's what's happening. You know, if you'll start paying me, I'll start getting here at 8 o'clock. If you'll give me a raise. See, we've got the whole concept backwards. You know,
How many people have come and said,
"Why, Perry, I tell you, I'd have a good attitude, too, if I made $50,000 a year." Well, obviously, the good attitude comes first. You get the good attitude, and you'll make money. There's no problem with that. You got to have the attitude first. You don't get the $50,000, and you get the attitude. You get the attitude first, and then you get the money. Isn't that fantastic? We got to get the attitude. We got to get it right. We got to get our thinking right. We got to get our willingness to give to other people. I suppose that Dave Murphy and Jim Anderson's lives tell the story about as near as anybody could tell it. Dave Murphy was working on the railroad, right out on the railroad, right down on the tracks, and one day, one of the most beautiful fashion cars drove up and parked on the railroad. The window came up, and a man stuck his head out the window and said, "Hey, Dave, is that you?" He said, "Sure is, Jim." He said, "Come on in and sit with me and talk with me a few minutes." And Dave Murphy walked down the track, climbed into the most beautiful, luxurious car that had ever been constructed to meet his friend, Jim Anderson. Talked with him for about an hour, hour and a half, and Dave said, "Well, Jim, I gotta go back to work, and I've enjoyed the visit." Climbed down, went back out, picked up his shovel and his pick, and started back to work. And the guys in the crew said, "Hey, Dave, isn't that Jim Anderson, the president of the railroad company?" He said, "Sure is." "But how'd you know him?" "Well," he said, "we both went to work here the same day." "Both went to work here the same day?" He said, "Yeah, both of us the same day." "Well, how do you explain that, Dave?" He said, "It's very simple. When we went to work that day, I went to work for $1.75 an hour, and Jim Anderson went to work for the railroad company." That's the difference. That's the difference. That is the whole difference. You see, when you start giving yourself, when you start pouring yourself into the business that you're in, men will start giving back to you. But too many people are afraid to give. I asked my friend out in Odessa not long ago, I said, "Hey, Joe, how many people you got working for you now?" And he said, "About half of them." You know, a lot of people stop looking for work as soon as they find a job. In fact, they start avoiding it like it was the 7-year itch. I'm amazed at the attitude of some people and their unwillingness to give. Unwillingness to give. You start giving today, you start pouring yourself into your company, you start pouring yourself into your business, you start giving yourself in every area that you know anything about in your particular business. Did you know that your boss, the boss you're working for right now, wants to give you a raise more than you want the raise? Why, one guy said not long ago, "Perry, I'll tell you how he can make him and me both happy. He just give me the raise." Whether you know it or not, it is not a non-profit organization. And if it's not making profit, you're not going to be there too much longer if it's not making profit. So when you start giving to your job, when you start pouring yourself into your work, and I don't care what kind of business you're in, this is not limited to a half a dozen businesses or to 100 businesses. This is limited only to the amount of vast number of jobs that are available and businesses available to man today. You start giving yourself. You start pouring yourself into it. And if your boss does not give you a raise, the man down the street will. Somebody across the hall will. Somebody across town will begin to raise you and pay you
what you're actually worth. Companies today are looking for and wanting to pay a lot of people $25,000, $35,000, $50,000 a year. $5,000 or $10,000 a year men are available everywhere. You can get them about anywhere today. But companies are looking for men. They're scarce. They're hard to find that will pour themselves into it. I mean to that, and I'm going to give you just some right down-to-earth things you can get your teeth in. Start going to work in the morning. Early. It would be embarrassing to ask many, many bodies of people. How many of you are on time every day or early? There you are. I didn't really intend to ask that. Boy, but I'm glad to see all those hands going up. That's super. But see, in many cases, we wait as late as we can, drive as fast as we can to get there, hoping to punch the clock before the bell rings. I can tell you today that you are locked in. You're locked in at that present income. He said, just as you measure it out, it's going to be measured back to you. It'll do whatever you want it to do. Do whatever you want it to do. Any amount that you want men to measure back to you, you must in turn measure to them. They will begin to give. Going the extra mile is the only logical reason for increased compensation. You can read that in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 41. Compensating more than is expected will come in many forms and from many different sources. God's our source. And God will pay you back. 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Wealth that is shared creates more wealth. And you can share many forms of wealth besides money. Give not primarily to get. And this is the delicate law about giving. You never give, I want you to get this, you never give expecting to receive from the person you gave it to. You never give expecting to receive from the person you gave it to. Yes, you do, you must, you should. It is biblical to expect to receive. That's God's word. Oh, many years people say, oh, now you can't give. You just can't give and expect to get anything back. That's not scriptural. I just read where it said, you give and men will give into your bosoms at a level that you'll have to press it down, shake it together, pack it in order to get it all in. If you will give. But you give, and God will cause the law, this delicate law, to go to work for you, and it'll come back. And whether it's good or bad, it always comes back multiplied. See, you sow bad, and bad will come back multiplied. You so good. How many farmers have got in this live audience tonight? Can I see your hand? I know we got some. There are some farmers. Farm background. Got people on farm background. How many of you? Yeah, here you are. How many of you, how many grains of corn do you think one grain of corn would reproduce? Somebody just guess at it. About 300. Here's a man who says he'll reproduce 300. You got anybody here from corn states where they really grow a lot of corn? It might. About 300 grains would be reproduced by one single grain of corn be reproduced, he said, 300 times. Now, I'm going to tell you that whether it's good or bad, this will happen. It will come back multiplied. But the good thing about it is that Christians are giving good. They're saying a good word. You know what? You start talking about everybody, saying good things about everybody, you know what will happen? Sure you do. People start saying good things about you. You know what will happen when you start saying bad things about everybody? Exactly right. In fact, the Lord just told me the other day, about over in the book of Matthew, isn't it, darling? Where he's talking about where we look at people and beam in our brother's eye. We think that we have virtually nothing in our own eye. And the Bible says that we can't even see the mote in our brother's eye for the beam that's in ours. See, you start fault finding with people, and it's a known fact that we're trumpeting our own fault. Now, that'll knock your hat in the tree. You start talking about somebody else. It is a known fact. The Scripture says that the beam is like a tube compared to a splinter in your neighbor's eye anytime you see something in your brother's eye. Same principle. So, consequently, you don't say bad things about other people. You praise everybody, just as somebody said a little bit ago. You see all the good in other people. This is particularly important for the wife to the husband and the husband to the wife. Ephesians 5th chapter, verse 33 in the Amplified gives 12 different ways that you are to praise, admire, adore, defer, reverence your husband. Same thing about the fellas. Need to be bragging on the girls. Need to be telling them what a good job they're doing. You want your wife to perform better? Start seeing her as a person that performs better. But one of the things that's extremely important is your attitude must be right. These principles will not work if your attitude is not right. There's no worry that if fear or greed or envy or jealousy or hatred are in our lives, this principle will not work. It cannot work. It's like sowing a seed and having no rainfall, or sowing a seed on top of a rock that has no depth of soil to grow on. It will not work. If any of these things, don't raise your hand on this, but how many of you have ever had a real good feeling down inside when you heard some bad news about somebody? Yeah, I'm getting close to home again, Polly. Oh, I've had it. Oh, boy, just found out they're losing their car. Good enough for them. What to get from the bigger car than I got anyway. I knew all time there's some hidden sin. Yeah, I knew all time there's something wrong with them. God will not bless your life nor mine if these wrong attitudes are resident in our life. He said that this giving and this attitude about giving also is to be expressed toward our loved ones, our neighbors, and that's anybody that's in need, or even our enemies. When the Scripture talks to us about loving people, and he talks about it, I suppose it's about 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 6 or 7, somewhere in that immediate area. He talks about finally, in the seven steps to Christian maturity, he talks about finally that we must have love. Now, he already has mentioned brotherly love. That's about number 4 or 6 or somewhere along there. Brotherly love. But the last one he talks about is agape. This is divine kind of love. This is God kind of love. This is the kind of love that you give, never expecting a return from what you've given. Somebody takes something from you, don't even think about it. How many times have you seen somebody that somebody owed them some money? Somebody had borrowed something, bought something, never paid for it, or never returned it. How many businessmen do you know today, or can you think of, and I hope you're not looking at them, but just for the sake of you learning this truth, how many people do you know of that say, boy, I tell you, old Joe owes me all this money, and I'm going to get it. Some way, I'm going to get it. You know what? That attitude will keep that man from being productive himself. Somebody bought something from you, bought a muffler from you, bought a battery from you, bought a tire from you, didn't pay you. Go to whatever lengths are necessary to try to, reasonable lengths to try to collect it. But if you can't collect it, tear it up. Forget about it. yourself. You can go around stewing and steaming and sweating and get all upset and all disturbed. But the ideal thing is, forget about it. Give it to him. If he ever pays you, that's a gift. It's a bonus. If he doesn't pay you, that is some more giving, if it's with the right attitude, that's some more giving that God said that he'll cause men. I have a good one of my very best friends to a theater shop many years ago in Odessa, Texas. Very, very fine man. He and his wife, tremendous people. They meant a great lot to Polly and I. Many a time, Rudy has had bills. People got things, got a radiator, got a brake job, didn't pay for it. Rudy, you know, whatever was reasonable in trying to collect it, mail a letter to him and tell him that it was past due and ask him to pay it. After making a reasonable attempt to collect it, Rudy would just take the bills, tear them up, throw them in the trash. This man, when I met him in the 50s, probably was worth less than, I don't know, $1,000. Today, in fact, he was just by to visit us a few days ago at the ranch. Called us, came out, spent some time with us. Today, young man, put every principle that I'm teaching to you and that Polly's teaching to you today, put them, every one, into practice in his life. You can develop the wrong attitude. You can develop and stop the flow of income into your life. Or you can say, that's another opportunity to give. Somebody borrows from, the Bible literally says, if a man asks of you, don't turn him away. Give to him. If he asks for your coat, give him your cloak also. Go the second mile. Give yourself. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you're trying to do today. On your job, right where you're at, right now, some of you making it, day to day. In 10 years from today, if the Lord tarries, and I have no idea what his schedule is on returning, I guarantee he's going to come, and I'm looking for him, but you give a young man 10 years of putting the principles we're talking today, his income will already exceed what he's making today in a form of a salary, and he'll be absolutely doing nothing but taking care of a business. God's looking for young men today, older men today, couples today, that'll commit themselves to their job and to God's kingdom with the right purpose, free for the purpose of ministry. Oh, what would happen today? What would happen today if we were 4 or 5 years down the road? Because from today, if you would begin to do what Polly and I are going to teach you in the next few hours in these sessions, your life will become completely financially free. See, we're slave to the clock. I wouldn't even want to ask you, how many of you, if you wanted to stay home in the morning, could just call the boss and say, hey, I'm taking off. Or call your employees and say, hey, I'm going to take a trip. I'm going home. Why can't I just catch a plane? Y'all take care of it. We'll mail you a card. We'll see you. Adios. In this fact, that you and I, if we'll start giving ourselves, God will cause men to give back to us in return.